I'll go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for another opportunity to come. Lord, we thank you for another opportunity to share the word of truth, right divided. And Lord, we pray for all those that are going through tonight, going through trials, tribulations, and troubles in this old world, in this present evil world. We pray that you continue to strengthen them in their inner man with the gospel of grace of God, knowing that your grace is sufficient. We thank you for the good news tonight, and that is that Jesus Christ died, was buried, rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. We pray that you continue to strengthen those who are going through trying times and let them know that your grace is sufficient. In other words, if we rest in what you can do and not try to do things ourselves, if we rest in your power and your strength, Lord Jesus, we know that we can make it through. We know that, like the verse said, we can do all things through Christ who strengthened us. Now, Lord, we pray as we go into your word, that we go into your word, that by the effectual working of the Holy Spirit, that we're enlightened, that we're encouraged. And when we come away from the word tonight, this study, that we all are edified. We thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, brothers and sisters, tonight we've been talking about persevering, to persevere during troubled times, my brothers and sisters. Let me say this tonight, a serious question tonight. If you die tonight, where will you spend eternity, my brothers and sisters? That's a serious question that I always ask, and that is, if you die tonight, where will you spend eternity? Death cannot be escaped from, and many have deceived themselves into thinking that doctors can save lives, but the truth is there has never been a doctor that has saved even one single life. All a doctor can do is help relieve symptoms temporarily to some future date. But there has only been one doctor who has the ability to save anybody, and his name is Jesus Christ. He's the only one who can rescue us from the grave. Only he saves us from death and destruction. Our physical bodies will die, but our soul has hope through Jesus Christ our Lord. Man needs to be saved. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." There will be no boasting in heaven. We cannot be saved by our own righteousness, but only by God's grace through faith. My brothers and sisters, Romans 3, 3 tells us, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And Romans 6, 23 tells us, for the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. My brothers and sisters, salvation cannot be earned. We must believe the gospel. And what is the gospel? That is 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4 tell us. Paul said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you," Paul said, "unless you have believed in vain, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures." This is the gospel we must believe in order to be saved, my brothers and sisters. That is the gospel we must believe in order to be saved. Now tonight, we're going to continue on talking about we must persevere and continue on and fight the good fight of faith. Now, to persevere, Paul describes the result of rejecting God in Romans 1, 28 through 32. If you go back and read that scripture, hope you have your pens and paper, you can write those scriptures down and go back. Romans 1, 28 through 32, since they did not think it was worthwhile, Paul talking about to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a reprobate mind to do what ought to not be done. They have become filled with every kind of weaknesses, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossip, slanders, God-haters, arrogant, and boasters. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these things, very things, but also approve of those who practice them. Now, Paul's words ring as true in our day as ever before. Our news and entertainment media praise and condone degenerate sinful lifestyles and practices while condemning people who support biblical standards as narrow-minded bigots out to impose their biases on others. You know, when you stand up for the word of God, right in the Bible, you don't know what's coming your way. But I guarantee if you stand on the word of truth, persecution is coming your way, my brothers and sisters. Such twisted values are the inedible results of a mindset that rejects the knowledge and commandments of God. Satan and his influence is powerful and pervasive. Paul understood this, reminding Christians that you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the children of disobedience. Ephesians 2:2. Now, the result of the devil's influence is that before conversion, our focus is on gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Now, Ephesians 2:3. Notice again that Paul calls Satan the prince of the power of the air as the spirit working in disobedient humanity. What does this mean, my brothers and sisters? Evidently, Satan is responsible for a spiritual broadcast of sorts to which human minds are attuned. Just as the air around us is saturated with TV and radio signals that can be tuned in with electronic receivers, so it also saturated with Satan's spiritual broadcast of selfish and rebellious moods and attitudes to which our minds are receptive. The devil thereby spiritually influenced humanity to reject God and God's laws. Under this influence, the mindset of the flesh is hostile to God because it does not submit itself to God's law, for it is unable to do so. Romans 8:7 says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Separated from God, man chooses to go his own way with devastating results. Under Satan's influence, humanity has rejected God's revelation and guidance and built societies and civilizations on wrong foundations. In 2 Timothy 2:21, Paul said, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Each of us must do our part and desire to be a vessel for honor. All who are part of the body of Christ must be diligent to serve well. In 2 Timothy 3:1-5, Paul lists 19 end-time attitudes in the body of Christ. In other words, behaviors that's not of God. Go back and read that. 2 Timothy 3, talking about the perilous times, 1-5. Paul lists 19 end-time attitudes in the body of Christ, behaviors that's not of God. Verse 5 of 2 Timothy 3 clearly warns all to turn away from people displaying such characteristics. Such behavior leads to corruption of the members and attack against the truth. In 2 Timothy 3:10, Paul writes to Timothy with the meaningful words, but thou, in that verse, or you could say, but thou come at the beginning of verse 10 and 14 of 2 Timothy 3, and can be translated, but as for you, Timothy, or as for you, those in the body of Christ. In other words, Paul is saying to us in the body of Christ, as you see the decline in morals, empty show of religion, and spread of false teaching, saints, you are called to be different. And if necessary, stand alone. Every Christian is called to be different from the world. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. Romans 12:2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Simply saying that we believe is not enough. Christians must also show their belief in a life that mirrors the word of God, rightly divided. Our lives should be living and holy sacrifices. And that is the only way to be acceptable to God. In conjunction with our verb expression of Christ, there must also be a visible display in our lives, not showing the world how great we are as people, but showing the world how great He is as God. We must be the city set on the hill that would not be hidden by the world. How great we must show them. That we must be that city on the hill and not be hidden by the darkness of the world. The only way that we will ever please God, my brothers and sisters, the only way that we will ever please God is to give life service to accompany our lip service. How do we do that? Romans 12:2 continues. Paul thoughts and tell us to renew our minds so that we be transformed. In order to give the proper life service to God, we must study His word right divided and know what we ought to do. Then we can be workmen who needed not to be ashamed. 2 Timothy 2:15. Here's what it all boils down to. Christians must be the needle in the compass that points the way to Christ. If we say we believe the gospel, the grace of God, and walk in the Spirit, no one will ever take our directions. Satan uses people to mislead other people. It is easy for him to influence human beings who desire to teach others when they are motivated by personal ambitions. This is especially true if they lack a proper understanding of the Scripture. Satan simply takes advantage of their desire to be spiritual teachers. He seduces individuals to pay lip service to Christ while creating their own new sets of beliefs and ignoring or disobeying portions of God's word. Paul said, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. 1 Corinthians 5:6. Christians can compromise to the point where they are just like the world. Satan desires to steal, kill, and destroy. He uses temptation and sin to destroy believers. Apostle Paul warned of the spiritual climate in the body of Christ in the last days of the church. Paul warned that many saints will like aspects of the world, even though they grieve God's heart. It is for that reason many never get rid of certain sins, but instead allow them to linger in their lives. They are hesitant to fully give up the world. A sinful character trait, a hobby, ambition, or relationship, and therefore it stays in their lives. And they have now become functionally dead and a poor testimony for Christ. For our learning, look what Isaiah said about the nation of Israel. Isaiah 29:13. He said, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near to me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear towards me is taught by the precepts of men. Lip service means saying yes with your mouth, but saying no in your heart and by your actions. It is honoring God with your lips when your heart is far from Him. Words uttered by the mouth, however true, do not impress God if the speaker is not taking account of their meaning. So many denominational religions have forms of words that are considered to have power in themselves. But being faithful is taking account of what the word of God means and believing it. Romans 16 and 18. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speech deceive the hearts of the simple. Are you serving your own belly tonight? Are you serving your own passions, your own desires and goals for your own personal gain, and have left the word, the work of the Lord, unattended? Are you marching to the beat of Satan's drums tonight while the world is looking at us? Now, the definition, perseverance, Philippians 1:27, we're going to get into it. Philippians 1:27, Paul said, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. My brothers and sisters, we need to look at the nature of perseverance and the mindset of perseverance and the church ministry of perseverance. In Philippians, Paul's teaching on perseverance are most easily understood in terms of three main facts: the definition of perseverance, the necessity of perseverance, and the assurance of perseverance. So let's begin by looking at Paul's definition of perseverance. Paul conceived of perseverance in terms of the twin ideas of true faith and righteous living. On the one hand, perseverance is maintaining our faith in the gospel, the grace of God, relying on his merit alone for our righteous standing before God. Paul wrote of this in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, which we just read, where he expressed his hope for the Philippians with these words: only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Stand fast, or firm, in one spirit. As believers, we must remain steadfast in our commitment to the gospel. Never give up our belief, no matter what we see the world and false teachers doing. We must not succumb to the pressure of the satanic policies of evil. This is what we mean when we speak of persevering in faith, true faith in the gospel of the grace of God. Can be described in many ways, but listen to one central focus of Christian faith as Paul described it in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. He said, listen, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. In this passage, Paul indicated that all his human status and good works were useless for obtaining true righteousness and salvation. The only thing that could gain salvation for him was the righteousness of Christ applied to Paul by means of faith in the finished work at Calvary's cross. So long as we continue to rely solely on Christ's merit for our righteousness, we are persevering, standing firm in our faith. Now, this is not to say that perseverance never admits to doubts. Rather, the point is that persevering faith never utterly and finally denies the truth of the gospel. My brothers and sisters, once we no longer believe the central truth that we are saved by Christ and Christ alone, then we truly fail to persevere. In addition to defining perseverance in terms of true faith, Paul also spoke of perseverance as righteous living, as persisting in doing good and praiseworthy works. For instance, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, he spoke this way: wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Philippians 2, 12 through 13. Here Paul talks about continuing in good works, acting in ways that accord with salvation. Now, perseverance in good works does not mean that we live perfectly. We will never reach perfection in this life, and sometimes we stumble in serious ways. Rather, we persevere in good works when we strive to obey Christ faithfully. And what I just talked about, we are ambassadors for Christ, my brothers and sisters. We must persevere, even when the world is trying to suck us in. We must persevere in the faith. Be strong in the faith. We can't say that I'm an ambassador for Christ and continue to hold hands with the world. Because while you're holding hands with the world and you're saying you're an ambassador for Christ, my brothers and sisters, you got to remember who you are representing. You are tainting your testimony for Christ. You are bringing shame to our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ's name. Because the first thing the world going to say, you mean tell me they Christians and they acting like that in order to represent Christ? We must persevere in the faith of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, he offered this exhortation regarding righteous living. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be what? Blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked, look at here, and perverse nation, among whom ye shine what? As light in the world. You only can ask yourself tonight, am I shining as a light in this dark world? Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. What are you got to say when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ? I said I was an ambassador for you, Lord, but I know I was holding hands with the world all through life and bringing shame to your glorious name and holy name. My brothers and sisters, by avoiding complaining, arguing, by living righteously, the Philippians could become blameless and pure. If they failed to persevere, they would show that they did not truly trust in Christ. To many of us, Paul's teaching on the definition and the necessity of perseverance might sound daunting or even harsh. Paul and the assurance of perseverance, and in light of assurance, Paul teaching on perseverance are not a threat to believers, but a comfort. Assurance. Paul assured the Philippians, just like you and I, that every true believer will certainly persevere in both faith and righteous living. That's if you walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. Those whose faith is true possesses the Holy Spirit who works in them to guarantee their perseverance. Listen to what Paul words in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. He said, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1, 6. Paul was certain that if God had begun to save the Philippians, he will also finish saving the Philippians, just like you and I. He would not allow any of them to perish, but would cause all true believers to persevere under the day of Christ Jesus. And Paul's confidence should be our confidence too. If we truly believe, there is no way that we can fall from faith or from grace. Paul confirmed this idea in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, where he gave this encouragement. He said, for it is good which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. The fear we ought to have is not the terror that we might finally fall from grace, but overwhelming awe at the realization that God Almighty is working within each of us to ensure that we think and do what he wants. He controls our hearts and our minds for his good purpose, which includes our perseverance, so that there is no way we can fail to stand firm until the end. In Philippians 3, 15 through 17, Paul says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything be you otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. He said, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be you followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Notice how Paul described perfect as not sinless, but as being thus minded. That is that we would also desire to be renewed in the spirit of our mind, Ephesians 4:23, and that we will allow God's word as we read it and study it to renew our mind, Romans 12:1-2. Our lives should reflect is what spiritual maturity we do have. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Moreover, we should seek even greater spiritual maturity. In other words, a better understanding of God's word to us. Notice how Paul encourages us to be followers of him. Brethren, be ye followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Philippians 3:7. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul wrote, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 14:37, Paul said, if any man think himself to be a prophet, a spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. As God, apostle of the Gentiles, Romans 11:13 and Romans 15:16, Paul is God's example for us to follow. We follow Jesus Christ today by applying, by faith, the doctrine found in Paul's epistles, Romans 2:5. Always remembering Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope. Now, we're going to end with the mindset, because we got to continue on next week. The mindset of perseverance. Now that we have investigated the nature of perseverance, we are in a position to discuss the mindset of perseverance that the believers should adopt. In our discussion, we will focus on three aspects of our mindset that Paul emphasized in his epistles to the Philippians. Humility, optimism, and joy. Philippians 3:12-14. Not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brother, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Paul said, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Here Paul acknowledged, even some 30 years after his salvation, that he had not yet gotten a grasp of just why Jesus Christ saved him. He knew he had to experience more spiritual growth. He had more to learn from God's word, to come to a further understanding of God's overall plan for the heaven and the earth and his role in that plan. Paul never returned to vain religion and spiritual ignorance. He forgot those things which were behind, and he reached forth to those things which are before so that he could come to a greater spiritual maturity. He focused on a goal, a mark, and that goal was to win the prize, to understand the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Again, Paul wanted to know God better and better. Is that the way you feel tonight? Do you want to know God better and better? If you do, get in the book. That's spending time with God. If you want to know God better and better, walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. If you want to know God better and better, set aside some time for prayer and meditation and have time, a long time with God. My brothers and sisters, if you want to know him better and better, you got to have a study life. And you got to have a life that line up with you saying, I'm an ambassador for Christ. When you say I'm an ambassador for Christ, your life should line up. Your practice, what you should be practicing what you preach. My brothers and sisters, because you know what they call folks who don't practice what they preach. You know, back in Jesus' earthly ministry, they called them what? Hypocrites. In other words, you're saying one thing and you're doing another. In other words, you say, I represent Christ, but you're holding hands with the world. In other words, you say, I represent Christ, I'm a pastor of Christ, but you don't spend time with God's word. In other words, you're saying, I'm a pastor for Christ, but you're walking around functionally dead, and you're not walking in the spirit. So if you want to know God better and better, you get in the book. So he could, Paul said, Paul wanted to know so he could know what God was doing. That's the only way you're going to know what God is doing, and then better understand his role in what God was doing. Paul gained this understanding by studying the Bible and let the indwelling Holy Spirit use it to work in him for God's glory. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, we do the same. Let's look at Paul's idea that our mindset, this mind of perseverance, my brothers and sisters, and next week we're going to talk about it's based in humility, optimism, and joy. That's what we're going to talk about next week, my brothers and sisters. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for another opportunity to come and share the word of truth with our brothers and sisters. And we pray as those who listen in tonight that they were encouraged, that they were enlightened, and that they, if they understand what they heard tonight, in order to know you better, in order to do better, we must get in the word of God. And not only get in it, we must practice it. We must walk in it. We must live it, because we are ambassadors for Christ. Thank you for this opportunity tonight. We pray that those who listen in, they were edified and encouraged to go on during these difficult times in the body of Christ and what's going on in the world, in this present evil world, that they were encouraged to go a little further. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.